entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Radio Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. I am TJ Jackson, and I'm here with my two brothers, Terrell Jackson.
What's up, everyone?
And Taj Jackson.
Hello.
Taj Jackson. How you guys doing?
What's going on?
Doing well. Doing well.
Everything all right?
Yeah.
How was your weeks? We're going to get right into it. How are the weeks?
Baseball update?
No.
Still losing.
Still losing?
We have a game today against I want to say the last place team, but we're the last place team, so I can't.
You only have one direction to go, though.
We should win.
You can only go up.
I learned that there's two directions now. You can either go up or you can stay exactly where you are. We've been staying where we are. But we should win.
Okay.
We should win. I can't give them any more speeches. I'm
You're out of it. You tapped out.
I can't tell them anything.
You've hit all the inspirational speeches you
yes.
can.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I reached back into my little private box of speeches. I have nothing else. I'm just going to say, guys, go out there and have fun.
Besides baseball, Terrell, how was your week?
Music's good. I'm doing music. baseball music. That's all I got, man.
No movies, nothing?
No, I don't do movies. It takes too long.
TV shows?
I love the playoffs right now. I don't watch much TV anymore.
Yeah, that's crazy. Me too.
I watch maybe one or two shows. I can't do the... I'll catch... what is that? Prison Break once in a while. Ooh, but I don't want to like watch it out of sequence. I can't. There's too many good shows out there, and I can't get into one of them. I actually don't want to start one because I don't want to start liking it, and then you got to get suckered into... Not suckered, but, you know. Then you're stuck having to watch all of it. So...
Okay.
I just stay with my sports.
Sports? Taj, I know you're not staying with sports. What are you up to?
Basically TV shows. Been watching some TV shows and seen that many movies recently.
What's the big TV show?
I watch a lot of CW.
Yeah, what's up with that, Taj?
It's superhero stuff, man. Like Flash, Supergirl.
Are they still new episodes?
Yeah, they just started again. Pretty Little Liars.
It's funny though because as he's saying this, you see it glow and a smile on his face.
I'm like the demographic I think of like young teenage girls.
Seriously, you're excited, man.
Yeah. I don't know. You didn't think I watched Pretty Little Liars
when
but
I say
it's
this.
Like, yes.
I'm not kidding when I say this. You have like a glow in your eyes when you're talking about Pretty Little Liars.
Well, it's just started again.
So you're excited.
Yes. It's, you know what it is? I think it's... Remember when we were younger and we'd see mom watching soap operas?
Okay.
It's kind of like that.
What you watch?
It's so off the wall and dramatic and like... But it's a storyline and it's like once you start following it, you're kind of addicted to it. So it's kind of... It doesn't make sense at times and it's like so surreal, but it's my guilty pleasure. I like that. I mean, I like that better than reality shows because I feel like with reality shows, you're kind of you're rewarding people for like usually the ones that act the worst get the most attention, and then you give them the viewership and you're rewarding that, and so more people do that.
So you're trying to protest?
No, I like scripted because scripted, you know, they're a character.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. How was your week, T?
It was good. It was normal. I don't really remember. I don't have a good memory anyway, but it's been a lot. But what I'm excited for today, I have a college meeting with Royal at a school.
Ooh.
So we're going to.
This is one of the potentials?
Well, yeah. It's with the college counselor to talk about which options and how he's going about doing it.
Oh, wow.
So I'm probably more excited than him, but it's just a reminder, you know, that kids get older and he's about to start the next phase of his life. But all is good. He's doing well.
Does he know which ones he wants to go to, or is he kind of like he doesn't?
We've visited a couple.
Wait, hold on. Real quick. Yeah. This is a very important question.
Yeah.
Are you trying to spearhead? Are you letting him kind of guide? Because I know you and I know him.
So. Yeah. So good question. I am not really trying to spearhead as like I thought I would be the one to like control everything in a sense. Not only for his benefit, obviously not for me. Yeah, I don't try to live through Mike is.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
But, you know, for instance, Roy wants to be an astronomer.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but that would be one of the least things I'd pick for him. Mm-hmm. But that's what he wants to do.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's going to change personally. I still think that's just his young imagination taking on, which is cool. But, you know, he's come to the conclusion. I always told myself, actually, I wanted my boys to go to the East Coast mm-hmm. and my girls to stay local. That was always my thought. Seriously,
I think it's going to be flipped.
And it was you're probably right. But it was because, you know, I didn't go to college as a youngster, but when my friends did, I would go out there and say, there's no way I want my girls in this environment.
Yeah.
And for the boys, it was like a lot of fun, you know, and it was a good experience because they're learning and seeing different cultures and different places. But Royals kind of changed that. I think Prince helped him, to be honest, by staying local. Yeah. So he wants to stay local.
Did he ever want to go?
I don't know. Really, well, the first time I started talking to him, his answer was like, I like what Prince did and just stayed close.
Yeah.
So he's kind of like a SoCal, kind of like you guys, actually, now that I'm looking at you. You guys are the same.
We started the trend.
So he wants to stay local, like his family. But it's good. He's slowly maturing and you know, he's growing up.
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
So, all right. Well, we're going to have open phone lines today. We have a couple of topic ideas that we're going to discuss, but we're going to have open phone lines. So, real quick, one thing I want to do is, and I know this is something we would normally do at the end, but we had a tweet come in from Taj. Why don't you go ahead and give everyone the Twitter, just so we have it.
Okay, it's at DDJ Foundation.
That's it? You want to do the other ones too?
Yeah. Sorry. So Twitter is at DDJ Foundation. Facebook is at DEE Jackson Foundation. And Instagram is at DEE Jackson Foundation. And the website is www.ddjf.org.
Very good. www.ddjf.org.
And the phone number to call in.
For the donations? Is that the one you're talking about?
No.
Oh, that's at the end.
Yeah, that's at the end.
My fault. Sorry. Phone number to call in to contribute to the show.
Yeah, to contribute.
At the beginning.
Really? Donation? No, it may confuse people.
Yeah.
All right. So phone number to contribute is 323-203-0815. Again, it's 323-203-0815. We're going to have open calls, open lines, where you can pretty much call in and talk about whatever. Talk about what you learned from the show, what you haven't learned, what you wish we would do more of. You could talk about an experience you had last week, yesterday, today, last year that you want to share that you think would be helpful for other listeners to hear. It's open phone lines, which means you call in and you talk about what you need to talk about. And you can also contribute to our topic. But before we get to our topic, a shout out to Jennifer Kreitz. I hope I'm saying that right. Jennifer tweeted DDJF. She tweeted that she made a really brave step. She enrolled at community counseling today, and she starts therapy next week.
Oh, wow.
And she's nervous. But we just wanted to give you a shout-out, Jennifer, because, you know, it's great to hear that you're doing that. And, yes, you're brave, you're courageous, and actually you're strong for doing that. I was always under the impression growing up that if you go to therapy, you're weak. But I actually think it's the other way around. If you go to therapy, you're actually strong because you're admitting something is off and something needs to be worked on. And so I just wanted to give you a nice little shout out and let you know we're here supporting you and we're with you.
I think that's a good point, TJ. I think it really it takes a strong person to get help.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people think, oh, you're weak because you're getting help. And from what I've seen and asking help is strength.
Yeah.
And because not many people can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really commend people like that.
Mm-hmm. Commend for sure. Terrell Jackson, we're going to start with your idea of the topic.
Well, last week we were talking a little bit about sports, and we ran out of time. So there's this player, Isaiah Thomas,
mm-hmm.
who his sister passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And
Was this recent?
Sorry. I love you.
It was
within the last 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah.
But it's playoffs. He plays for the Boston Celtics, and his sister passed, and we were talking about
the night before game one of the playoffs, which is the time of the season when everything matters. Mm-hmm. And he is their best player. So
he's
go
their
ahead.
Best player. But we started talking about it. A lot of people were questioning, should he play? Is he going to play? And we just thought that would be a good topic. You know, is he required to play because it's, quote unquote, his job?
Yeah.
Should he be forced to play? Does he have to play? When is it the right time for him to come back to play if he chooses not to play? And then we also were talking briefly about it. Some players play,
yeah,
and they do very well, like such as Brett Favre.
Yeah.
He played, I think it was his father, right? Passed away
father
earlier
and
in the week.
It was a Monday night football game. Right?
Yes.
I remember that.
Yes, and he set records.
I remember that.
You know, so we were thinking about, and it goes on beyond sports. I mean, there's obviously we do music, so it goes beyond sports. You know, should an artist cancel a show, or what's the right thing to do?
What's
there?
The protocol? But it's even like you said, beyond sports and beyond music, because mm-hmm. there's people out there that have jobs, maybe doctors right. that have surgeries and stuff, lawyers that have cases, things like that. So you never know what. You know, when life will strike you. And then the question is, how do you respond? Have you went through something where you had to respond, or, you know, how did you handle your own situation?
And it's difficult because a lot of times if you're working, if you're a dentist or a doctor or whatever, it may be, they may give you a certain amount of time, a week, two mm-hmm. weeks. I don't know what it is, but, you know, how do you get back into it?
How do you get back?
Is that enough time?
How do you, get back into your groove?
Yeah, into your groove.
So, and what's interesting, I think everyone is different. And I think what's very important, you know, social media will always have, Taj always says this, they always has the people that are just going to knock you and talk crap about you. So if you look on social media, I'm saying if I were Isaiah Thomas and I elected to play, I'm sure those people that social media that would be being cruel. But I think the important thing is it's your call, you know, and it's what makes you feel better. He may need to be with his family. He may need to be on the court playing basketball. You know, that may be mm-hmm. his escape, his relief, something that will help settle him in. And his first two games, they're at game five now, but for his first two games, you could tell he was quite dazed. You know, he wasn't, understandably, he wasn't all the way there. He wasn't tuned in. No one was giving him any flack, as they shouldn't have, but it was just interesting to watch because literally the day before, his sister, young sister at 22, I think, died in a car crash, car accident mm-hmm. that was, you know, obviously a shock. And he, like we've been saying, he was the leader of the team, an MVP of the whole league candidate, and the Celtics lost both games that they were supposed to win right. at home. And it was just one of those things that were going to end a sad incident mm-hmm. would end a magic season. I'm happy to say that game three and four they won. So although they lost game one and two, they tied the series.
And they're the number one seed.
And they're the number one seed. So now game five, I think, is tonight.
Yeah.
When we started this topic, it wasn't to plug a basketball game on tonight. But the point is he's back in Boston now. Game five, he's played all four games, and now we're, what, maybe 2 weeks removed from the incident, and he's starting to play like himself. Yeah. But it's just interesting to see what this whole thing has done to his healing process.
Yeah, I was looking online, and this was about, I don't know if it was a year ago or whatever, but Vanessa Hudgens, her father.
What's her name?
Hudgens.
TJ, what? Hudgens. I don't let him do that to you.
It's Hudgens.
TJ, how do you pronounce
it? It's Hudgens.
It's Hudgens. You know he's not sure.
He fell for it too. That was like,
well, because I don't know the right pronunciation.
Todd, you haven't figured it out. I try to do that to you almost once a show.
I'm trying to keep this entertaining, TJ. I don't mind
you.
Being
you take it with pride, though, Todd. Yeah. I got to give it to you.
Someone's got to be the comic relief over here.
Okay, go ahead. So what happened to Miss Vanessa Hudgens?
Her father died of cancer literally hours before she was supposed to do Grease Live.
Mm.
Oh, so it was wow. a live performance. She had been practicing, and her father was ill. And on Twitter, she said, please pray for my father. He's not doing well. And then literally he died basically like hours before, and it's a live performance.
Right.
I don't know if you guys know about Grease Live, but you know they do
that's the televised
that's a televised wow. one. So all those hours that people put in, and what I thought was interesting was that she tweeted right before she went on, she said, tonight I do the show in his honor. And remember how I was talking about doing things in people's honor, because there's two ways you can look at it. You can do it to make them proud, or you can kind of And I think she took that route. You know, that's not always the route that, you know, worked for other people, but she did take that route. And it was a successful show. It was a successful TV show or TV special.
Todd, I'm happy you brought that up. And for the record, it's Vanessa Hudgens.
Hudgens?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you got me saying Hudgens.
You know why? Because I confused, not confused her, but I mixed up her name with the guy from, what's it called? Hunger Games.
You lost me already, man.
Yeah, how do you spell that? H-U-D-G-E-N?
H-U-D-G-E-N-S.
Yeah, H-U-D-G-E-N-S.
The thing is that because you guys watch a lot of sports. I don't watch sports, so
yeah.
I like to always throw some other curveballs in there in terms of...
So, Tarjeth, I appreciate you telling us this. So I didn't even know about it. And, you know, it was interesting. She put... So was the message, was it a statement she made or was it, do you remember?
She tweeted, this is what she tweeted.
Yeah.
She said, I am so sad to say that last night my daddy, Greg, passed away from stage 4 cancer. Thank you to everyone who kept him in your prayers.
Mm.
And that was basically, and then she said, tonight I do the show in his honor.
Wow.
Like that was the next tweet.
Right. And then I saw the she had a tweet out. I don't know if it was before or after. It's actually an Instagram post where she put, I'm curious to know when she posted this, but it says, I wish heaven had visiting hours. It's a really...
Oh, that's a great quote.
Yeah, I never heard that one, but that's a cool one. And you know, like you said, Taj, Grease Live on television where literally, you know, tens
you
of millions of people...
Stop. You can't quit.
You can't have a bigger stage and a more already... nervous state because she's got to remember all the lines. This whole big production is counting on, it's like a flow. So if you mess up a line or mess up something, you affect the whole outcome. And it's live, you know, and there's no going back. And I couldn't even imagine having to do that, hearing that kind of news. So I gained a lot, you know, more pride and respect for her. So thanks for sharing that. Yeah.
Well, I have a quick question.
Yes.
For the listeners. Like, if you were at a concert or something, like, what would you expect from the artist if you found out that their sister, brother, mother, father passed away hours before? Because, you know, some people are like, well, I paid for this ticket. You know, you better perform. Like, would you be understanding, you know, if the show was canceled?
Taj, anyone who has that mentality...
It happens, though.
I know it happens. I know. I'm not saying that.
I'm foreshadowing my part of the segment,
mm-hmm.
you know, in terms of... But
it's sad. There are people out there that would disagree and feel... And, you know, and it's interesting because I've heard people say and feel that the show must go on.
Yeah.
You know, the show must go on and she's a professional.
Yeah.
She needs to do this and that, which is understandable and I get that side, but at the same time, we're not them. You know, we don't walk in each other's shoes, so we have to be respectful when these kind of situations hit. We got to be incredibly respectful and open to how others are going to treat it and their actions.
Do you think that some people just don't, they're not, they don't, because they haven't experienced it themselves.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like some people, the ones that do understand are the ones that have lost someone, and they know what that feeling's like, so they understand it, while the ones that haven't are like...
I think
like,
many who understand have lost someone, but I'm not going to say most. I think even people who haven't had that significant loss can be understanding.
They can
sympathize. If they come from a strong family, they could sympathize.
Yeah.
So I think that's cool, though. So that's our first topic that we're going to take calls on, and it leads into a second. You know what? We're going to take a phone call now.
Let's take a phone call now.
Let's break it up. Who do we have on the line with us?
This is Alicia.
How are you, Alicia?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Doing wonderful. What you got for us?
Well, a few things, but on the topic of whether I would be upset that a performer left after the show or during it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when Whitney Houston passed away, people were upset with Bobby Brown because he stayed and performed instead of going out to be with his daughter. And he said that he stayed because he knew that was what Whitney would want. And, you know, really at that point, there was probably nothing he could have done even if he had left. So I think that I would, you know, understand even if I did pay for that ticket. You know, he just lost somebody really close to him, but you do what you feel is necessary, just like you were talking about with Vanessa Hudgens.
Yeah.
And and I can't remember who else.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that I would be really respectful of whatever their choice was.
Alicia, I love it. Can you do me a quick favor, Alicia, and turn down the radio computer because we are getting a feedback? But
yeah,
I want to thank you for that story because I didn't know that one either. And
yeah,
that's a tough one because it's not only affected him, but he's got to think, I guess, about his daughter who's dealing with the loss. But, you know, everyone's situation is different. We don't know what transpired before he hit the stage. Maybe his daughter said, "Daddy, I want you to do this and do it the best you can in honor of our mom, you know, in honor of my mom." So we cannot judge, you know, and it's important, really, not only performers, athletes, we cannot judge even friends on how they respond to certain things. If they're not doing anything violent or negative towards other people, you got to give them their space and let them be them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
And also, like you were talking about with the basketball player, I thought that was really commendable what he did. And I was also a little upset with Charles Barkley saying he was uncomfortable with watching him cry on TV. And it's just like, well, he did just lose his sister, but he chose to play, and that was his choice. I don't know. That just kind of upset me.
I miss that. I usually watch inside the NBA, and I'm usually a fan of all mm-hmm. that they're doing. But I missed that one, Terrell. Do you know?
I did hear about that, and I saw him say it. And I didn't actually. I took it differently.
How did you?
A lot of people came down hard on Barkley for that, but I took it differently.
Wait, first of all, what did Barkley say?
He said because what happened was Isaiah Thomas was out doing shoot around.
Yeah.
And there was times where he would sit on the bench and he was crying. And Bradley came and put his arm around him. And
Coach Bradley. No, Bradley, the player.
The player.
Yep.
So Barkley was saying, "This makes me uncomfortable to see this."
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Barkley meant it makes me uncomfortable to see him crying. I think what made him uncomfortable is for him to be put into this position of feeling that he needed to play. That's how I took it.
Like,
I don't know how he meant, but I think Barkley was saying like he shouldn't have to play. He shouldn't have to, you know, he's not ready to play, or he shouldn't have to be in this position.
And Barkley felt like the pressure of the fans and the organization. Maybe
Isaiah Thomas felt like, you know, this is my team, and they felt like, you know, this is my team. We worked all year for this. I have to be there for them.
Yeah.
And Barkley was just saying this is how I interpret it.
Yeah.
I think he was saying it makes me uncomfortable, and whether it was right or wrong, it's a tough situation.
Yeah.
So you don't know if it's being insensitive, you know, towards the moment, but at the same time, I'm sure he was with his teammates, and like you said earlier, needs that escape. But at the same time, you never want to see someone in that position.
Right. And I usually am the person who's watching this. I usually would be chomping at the bit to contribute to this, but I miss this. I just wish if that was the case, Barkley was clear so that Alicia, and there's many more Alicias out there who interpreted it a different way, because that's a very important thing, you know. And go ahead,
Joe. Well, he did respond the next day because everyone was making a story out of it.
Uh-huh.
And he said, "Everybody, please stop trying to make a story out of this." I called him personally, you know. Uh-huh. So I don't think he meant it in a cruel way or insensitive way towards them.
Alicia, real quick, how did you interpret it again? You interpret it as
I interpret it as if, you know, sometimes people think that with sports you have to be so masculine and not mm-hmm. show any emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how Charles Barkley is, mm-hmm. it just sounded like he was being hypocritical of
Yeah, I understand. That. So you interpret it as like he has to, if he's going to cry, he needs to get out and do his thing. But if he's going to choose to play, he needs to be a player.
Yeah, and I felt Barkley was saying it makes me uncomfortable. Like he shouldn't play. Like he, you know, he doesn't need to play.
So you took it, see, and maybe that's your experience, but that's probably your experience being kind of in that entertaining shoes.
No, that's how I felt Barkley was saying it, because I watched
Barkley
all the
time. But my point is, you, Barkley, you've been in places where you're stuck, not stuck, but you're a performer. You're mm-hmm. an entertainer. You're a public figure to the point where you're understanding that mindset Barkley's coming from, where your average person who's never been felt that kind of a pressure to have to right. perform. So if you don't know that, then maybe you can misinterpret it. So maybe that's where we're at.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Cool. Alicia, thanks for the phone call. That was a great phone call. Anything else you want? Yeah.
I want to bring up to you. And I know the disclaimer and everything, but I was wondering, I think I've told you guys before that I recently lost my grandmother and aunt this past year. And my sister and I were talking the other day about how my mother has not really dealt with it, or she thinks my mom hasn't really dealt with it and has kind of not really been in touch with her siblings. My sister thinks not enough, and I've told her that, you know, people grieve in different ways and mm-hmm. to just let my mom do that. But, you know, she said that while she agrees, I don't think that she is. I think she's trying to kind of like control how my mother is doing that, handling the losses. And I was wondering what you thought of that.
So, you know, as you've been listening and being on this journey with us, everyone grieves different. Everyone, but they have to grieve. They have to get it out. I don't know your situation well enough to give an educated guess, but what I can tell you is there's an organization that I think you should look into. I don't know exactly what they provide, but they're pretty much one of the strongest organizations in helping people like you in your situation, families that have just dealt with a death. It's called ADEC, the Association for Death Education and Counseling. It's an international professional organization, and they're dedicated to promoting excellence and recognizing diversity in death education, care of the dying, grief counseling, and a lot more. So it's go to www.adec.org. And I would start there, Alicia, and see if anything, you know, I don't know if they have a toll-free number that can kind of guide you, and you can, you know, they could probably spend a lot of time with you, and they're trained for this. So that would be my advice.
Yeah, and I would say if it's something that you would want your sister to go to, go with her, mm-hmm. you know, as opposed to saying you need to do this or, you know, you should go to this. Go, you know, say, we need to do this. We need to go to this.
Your whole family's been rocked by the situation, you know, and it's kind of like our situation. We lost our mother, and even though he wasn't even born, my son and our kids go through it. So it's one of those things where it's a family thing. Everyone's affected because it's like we're all connected by love. So I agree with Taj. It's something that all of you got to do, and you don't want your sister to feel like, or anyone to feel like they're further along, or they're understanding things better. So you got to come in very humble and very understanding of everyone's situation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you very much.
Awesome, Alicia. Thanks so much, and take care of yourself.
You too.
Thank you.
So we're going to take another phone call. Who do we have on the line?
This is Tiffany.
How are you, Tiffany?
I'm doing good. How are y'all?
We are doing good.
Doing good.
You're from... Wait, let me get... Are you Texas?
Yes.
Yes. What part? Houston.
I'm in Beaumont.
Ah, that's close to Houston.
You ask that a lot.
I do. I told
it's
you,
like,
I don't have a good
like
memory.
It's like Groundhog's Day. We just let him do it. Every week.
Oh, man. I told you guys I don't have a good memory, so you get to see it on display. How are you, Tiffany? What's going on?
I'm doing good. I wanted to talk about the, like you were saying, how you have to carry on after a loss.
Yes.
Now, it's not a personal, I don't even know how to phrase it. It happened to me, but it affected my best friend really, really, really worse than I thought it would affect her.
Mm-hmm.
I've mentioned before that I lost my mother in 2008 to complications with diabetes and a staph infection. So prior to that, my best friend Stacy was just like my rock. Like anytime I needed her, she would be there. She always knew when I'd go visit my mother in the ICU, as soon as I'd leave out, she'd be calling my phone. How's your mom? Is she doing better? I mean, Stacy, I don't want to tap too much time, but just I need to say it because she really did everything that she could. She took off work to be with me, to come see about my mom. When she'd come visit me, if my mom needed something, she'd look up and it'd be me and Stacy. You know, you couldn't see one without the other. And I remember in the morning my mother passed. It was a Wednesday morning, and Stacy was at her house. I got the bad news, and I called her, and her mother picked up, and she was still sleeping because it was like 7:30 in the morning. And, you know, I told her, and she didn't say anything. I know she was on the phone because I heard her gasp when I said, Stacy, you know, mom's gone. And she had worked that afternoon. That's one thing that I'll never forget. She worked at a department store. And she said she called me after the fact that it happened. She was like, Tiff, I was at work and I was folding clothes and I was sticking clothes away. And she said, like, all at once, it hit her that my mom was gone because, you know, she thought of my mom like her second mom.
Mm-hmm.
And she literally broke down in the middle of the store on the floor and had to take off and go home because she was just that bad off about it. Because, I mean, I was at home. I was bereft and trying to take care of my father. And, you know, she's having her emotional breakdown across town at the store. And, you know, she came to the funeral and everything. She was actually the first person here before we left the house to go to the church for the funeral. I mean, she did. I don't want to cry because she just did so much because she didn't have to do so much for me. But, I mean, you know, she just, you know, she kind of put her feelings aside after her little breakdown and was there for me. So, but I mean, I know I could not have gone into work myself. So.
Yeah, that's. Thank you for sharing the story because it speaks volumes to what we're about. You have to be there for each other and you have to be understanding. And it's just interesting. First of all, it sounds like your mom was a special person that Stacy had that connection with.
Oh yeah, she was.
You know, and. You know, I don't know what else to say besides thank you for sharing it because a lot of people are going through that kind of situation. And as a friend,
right.
what do you do as a friend? You just got to be there for each other and you got to be understanding because I may be strong today and down tomorrow. And it's the job of friends and families to kind of monitor and be that strength and that support. And it sounds like you had that, you know, so that's awesome. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Tiffany.
Oh, wait, before I hang up.
Yeah.
I wanted to thank you for mentioning Jennifer Kreitz is one of my friends online.
Oh, cool.
I know everybody.
That's cool.
And I wanted to say thank you because, TJ, you're her favorite. She's still so scared and so nervous to call in, but I wanted to thank you for her.
Cool. And what do you want to tell Jennifer?
Thank all of you.
What do you want to tell Jennifer?
Just to be strong and know she's moving in the right direction and, you know, more power to her. And I just hope that she keeps blossoming and blossoming.
Awesome.
That's great. Cool.
We love it, Tiffany. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
So Tiffany's out in Houston, Beaumont, which is near Houston.
Oh, no.
No. But the reason why I'm saying that is because the Houston Rockets are waiting for my Spurs next round in the NBA playoffs.
So that's why you got Houston in your mind.
Yeah. So I mean,
you get the Spurs in the show.
Yeah. You know, I think Tiffany's awesome, but at one point we may have to be enemies for a week or two. All right, do you guys want to take another phone call? Or you want to talk a bit?
Yeah, we can take another phone call.
One more phone call.
Yeah, one more phone call.
All right. Who do we have on the line with us?
Hi, this is Ebony.
How are you, Ebony?
Hi, I'm doing fine. How about you?
We are doing good. How's your day going?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for asking.
Good. What you got for us?
Well, a couple of things. About what you were talking about, if it's okay to step down from your profession while going through family loss.
Yeah.
This is personally my opinion. I believe that a person should take time to, you know, truly grieve and deal with it because, I mean, it's not for everybody, but, you know, that's just how I feel. When my father passed, I work as a substitute teacher, and my mom is a PE teacher over at a middle school. When he passed, it was actually like the last couple of days of midwinter break, mm-hmm. and we were supposed to return to school like the following week. We didn't go back, until after a couple of weeks, because it really took us some time to, you know, deal with losing my father and just to process it, really.
Right.
And also, Nelly, I saw him in concert a few years ago.
Okay.
It was back when I was in college. I can't remember which year, but he did do a concert here in Beaumont, but he had to postpone because his sister got a leukemia just, I think, a week or two before he was supposed to come down for the concert.
Okay.
So...
Now, and be honest, Ebony, how was everyone's reaction to it?
Well, it was kind of mixed. Some were upset, but while some were completely understandable, I understood the situation because, yeah.
What made you different than those that were upset?
What made me different?
Than those that were upset. Why did you understand, in your opinion? Have you went through a loss? What do you think it was?
No, I hadn't truly went through like a big loss like that. But I know he wanted to like grieve because his sister had been a big part of his life. Mm-hmm. So,
and why do you think some people are not understanding? Why do you think some people think, you know?
Honestly, I really don't know. I mean, I'm guessing what you were saying about the professionalism, like, we paid this, like, to see you in concert, you want to see a concert. That's one thing I can think of.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But, you know.
I have a theory.
Yes, Taj, let's hear it.
I think it's because everyone grieves differently, and certain people see other, like, stars out there doing it right. Like, Celine... This is
Celine Dion.
Yeah, Celine Dion, courtesy of Emma. She just tweeted us this, that when she lost her husband, she was open to share her pain with the public during the show, and everyone was understanding.
Mm-hmm.
So people see different people reacting different ways, and so they're like, well, Celine did it, and
why
Bobby Brown did it, you know, so why can't you perform?
Yeah,
you know?
And Vanessa Hudgens.
And you're
Nelly, you're the strong one, you're the rapper, you're supposed to be tougher.
Yeah, and they don't understand that everyone grieves differently, and everyone gets impacted different ways, or deals with it differently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I think you're right, Taj. I think that's the message of today's show, and I'm hoping everyone understands that no matter how big or strong or how
what the image is,
what the
to be.
Image is, whatever warrior, whatever profession they are, everyone's going to grieve different, and we as a society have to be understanding and of that situation, of that, and of the person going through that. So we have to back off and just be supportive as a community for anyone, whether it's your favorite rapper, whether it's your favorite sports star, whether it's your boss, whether it's your surgeon. You know, you may have a dentist appointment today and get a call that the dentist, you know, can't make it because of a family emergency, and you know, this was the only day you could do it. You know, you got to take yourself and your pride out of it and be understanding, you know.
Do we judge, like, as a society, like, in terms of what is acceptable in terms of loss? In terms, like, if you heard someone is not coming to work today because they lost a parent or a sister or brother, you know, compared to they lost, a best friend or something like that, you know?
We do. I think we do as a society judge. I think if it's like a parent or if it's an immediate family member, we're for the most part everyone's okay.
Yeah, I don't think cousins fly. That's the saddest thing.
I lost, you know, my cat. I think people are like, that's sad, but they should be coming to work. But you don't see, and that's a good point, Taj, because you don't know what that cat or that dog
that could have been
or that goldfish meant to that person. Really, you don't know what that meant. So we have to find a way to reserve judgment and find a way to just let them be them, you know. Yeah. And in the end, it's going to help the whole society out because they're going to come out the better for it. So, Ebony, I know you're still with us. Is there anything else you had or anything else you want to say? Ebony, maybe you're not still with us. Okay.
Doesn't sound like it.
I didn't hang up on her, so maybe she followed us.
That was my next thing. You know, you said it before.
Hey, it was when you started talking, so you took it somewhere else.
Yeah.
I think this is an important topic. So it's cool because, you know, we didn't know where the show would lead. We had a couple of ideas. Todd, I think we need to save your concept for another time because it's a strong one as well. But is there anything else you guys want to add?
No, I think it's just people, we got to remember, we got to take care of each other better. We got to remember that we're human. And I think people see, you know, stars, musicians, or athletes, and they feel, you know, they make $12 million a year, so he needs to show up and play or whatever it might be. Sometimes it's for their own selfish purposes that they expect them to play, you know? But if you really think about the person and what they're going through, then you'll be understanding, you know? But like we said earlier, some people, it helps them. It helps them being in front of that audience because they can get that feedback, that love, that support, while others probably just wish they didn't have to be put in that position to do it. You know?
I love it. I'm. We're gonna take another phone call, so let's take one more. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Who do we have on the line with us?
Hi, it's Meredith.
How you doing, Meredith?
I'm fine. I was calling because normally I don't get serious because when I get serious, then I will break down. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna call in and be serious and tell a story until you brought up like people calling in for their cat dying. And don't get me wrong, I'm an animal lover, but I can't drive not. When I worked at Encino Hospital. A girl called in for that, and it was just odd to me. I mean, I called every single person in my family. I said, this lady called in about her cat because her cat died. But now I'm sensitive to animals. I don't want all the animal lovers to look at me bad.
You know what, though? Meredith, this is my point, though. I think everyone grieves different. It doesn't even have to be a cat. It could be their favorite shirt. I mean, obviously, okay, maybe not sure, favorite shirt.
Say,
all right, you get my point, though. Okay. But you understand what I'm saying? Everyone, like, attaches to certain things differently. So as much as I want to judge someone for what they're valuing, I think we have to figure a way to reserve it. I really do. I'll tell you what, my dog, Yabo, was huge for me when my mom passed. Huge, and it was like another family member in some ways, stronger and more important than family members. You know, I'm not gonna. Yeah, that's
because of the connection.
But you get my point. It was like a strong part of my life.
Well, it's because you don't know the relationship that person has with the animal and what you've been through and how that animal has helped you get through things
from the beginning. I mean, that was like my first child, you know, so it's like I seriously, I got Yabo at 12, 13 as a baby and had him my whole life, her whole life. Yeah. So it's like that connection, and for others it's just the dog. It's just, you know, it's something that it's expendable. So we can't judge people, and especially fans. But I could tell you're an awesome person, Meredith, and I know I think your response and your first reaction would be similar to all of ours, but we have to keep ourselves in check and just respect it, you know?
Have you ever had an animal, a cat or a dog?
Well, I have a bird and I have a dog, and I will admit, we had a bird, African gray, and those, if anyone knows those birds, they have a mind basically of a kindergartner. So the bird was in our family for years, but when the bird died, I will admit, it touched me a little bit, and I cried. I mean, I cried until my mom came home and said she took him to go get cremated. Then I had to run upstairs because I burst out laughing. Like,
oh, really?
We didn't throw the birds in garbage. But no, that was in my old days, all animal lovers. I don't think like that.
And what's crazy is I wouldn't think a bird, I don't think a bird could elicit that feeling from me. I just don't think I could cry over a bird. I never know. I've never been
talking a bird.
Yeah, like a talk. That
you had a bird that talked to you, tell you to shut up, knew your name.
There you go.
The way you talk to your kids. Like one day my daughter was calling. But I really want to talk about what I really talked for because I'm going to know the story. The reason why I did call is Tiffany. that she really got to me. Like I said, I normally don't call. That's one of the reasons why I do listen to the show, because of what it's about. Two years ago, I was working, and actually I got news. I have six brothers and sisters. Well, I had six brothers. One just passed last year. And I tell you, within 1 year, I found out one had cancer. The other one found out he had MS. One of my brothers had MS. One had cancer. My sister lost her husband. And then my mom found out she had stage four cancer. This all happened within like 3 months. Then last year, at the end of my year to graduate from school, I find out that my brother was passing. So here I am taking care of my mom, two girls, and final year of college. And my brother died the same week of finals. And so I still went and took my final exam because I had to do it. But yet I felt the responsibility, because more of it, I was still worried about my mom because she's going through chemo and how it's affecting her. So like you were saying, things do affect people a certain way. Some people would have said, well, couldn't you call your professor and reschedule it? I just didn't do it, which I probably should have, because I ended up failing a test and had to retake it. But I think you just handle things a different way. I mean, to this point, still taking care of my mom, I don't think I've actually broken down yet, because I'm trying to be strong for her, my daughters, and the rest of my brothers and sisters, since she depends on me. But it do get hard. But that's, like I said, that's why I listen to you guys, because I've never heard a show like this that deal with grief and me actually being in, you know, I told you I substitute, but I'm also, my field is counseling, but it's just, it's, I don't know. There's so many shows you have. It just, it's hard. And like I said, when I heard Tiffany and how she was with her mother, it just brought back exactly what I'm doing right now. Yeah. And I just really wanted to thank you guys, because this is a good show for people to express their feelings, because I don't think I've ever really just said anything about the situation, because I try to hold it all in. So
I understand.
I want to thank you guys.
Well, first of all, thank you, Meredith, for listening, supporting, and contributing. You know, the show is awesome for us, but it, you know, and it's especially great when we hear listeners say how what it's doing for them. But it takes the team to do it, and you guys are all part of the team, so thank you.
Thank you, too.
Yeah, Taj, I'm going to let you go now, Meredith, because we got to close it soon. But thank you so much, and have an amazing
thank
week,
you.
Okay?
Yes.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. Taj, real quick, because this is an important thing. I think a lot of people, and I'm, Terrell was opposite of you, where Terrell was, you know, I felt, maybe not, but, and I feel like I'm kind of in between. You felt that way, like Meredith felt, where you have to kind of hold it all together. Have you still been in that mindset? Are you kind of, do you go through your times where you try to let it go? And if so, how do you go about doing that?
Honestly, this show has been very helpful to me, because I don't talk about it. I only talk about it on this show. You know, I don't talk about it to my friends or, you know, to Tiana or whatever. It's just on the show I talk about it, so it's therapeutic to me.
Yeah.
As well as, you know, Meredith says therapeutic to her. But same, it's the same, because, yeah, you feel like you have to be the rock, you know, in a way, in terms of strong for everyone. And I haven't let go of that. You know, it's like a slow process of letting go of that.
You think you ever will?
I don't know. What I'm more scared of is certain people are like, well, it's going to catch up to you. You know, I hear that a lot. Well, you have to let it go, because it will catch up to you. But it knock on wood, it hasn't so far. But I think I've slowly, by doing the show, slowly let go.
It's like a balloon.
Deflating it.
Deflating it. Like, if you don't let air out, eventually you're going to burst.
Yeah.
So it's like, whether it's the smallest hole or what, but you got to slowly let it out.
Yeah.
And you feel this show kind of helps you with that.
I think that, and just doing things in mom's memory and doing, you know, things to make her proud has helped me. So,
and I agree with you, because I was, I'm laughing because I oftentimes say these words. When I was in the shower, I was thinking about this, but I feel like I take long showers and I think a lot. But I was thinking about how this show has helped me too. Because it's like 1 hour I dedicate, a little more, but I dedicate 1 hour a week to dealing with loss and grief and how to learn from it and how to overcome and really how to navigate it. And see, there's something I learned. But it's a great, I don't think it comes natural for people who want to hear about loss and talk about loss, but it's something that really helps, you know, and, mm-hmm. and us doing the show, we're not forced to, but we have this schedule that kind of forces us to be here to do it. But in the end, it's been so great for us, I think. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping it's the same kind of thing with the listeners, where if they're tuning in week after week, which a lot of them are, they're getting that same type of benefit of learning and talking about it. It's kind of like free therapy in a sense, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's great, and I'm very proud of what we're doing and where we've gotten.
Yeah.
One couple more things I want to say. Number one is a quote on grief and loss that I found and that I thought was very strong. You guys know me, I'm big on quotes. Mm-hmm. This one's by Vicki Harris. It is, "Grief is like the ocean. Grief is like the ocean. It comes on waves, ebbing and flowing. Sometimes the water is calm, and sometimes it is overwhelming. All we can do is learn to swim." It's pretty cool, right?
I like that.
And I think it kind of ties to our topic for the day, where we don't know when it's going to hit. We don't know how it's going to hit. All we could do is swim, you know, and we can let and support each other swim however it is they need to swim. Because that's really what it is. You know, we're going on 20-something years, right, Terrell, since we lost Mom. And it's still something we deal with, but we're swimming, you know, and that's all we're trying to do is help others learn that they have to swim. All right, guys, I think that's it. I'm going to do the disclaimer since we didn't do it earlier. We are not licensed therapists. We're just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we've learned from it. And that's what we try to do on the show is share our wisdom, our experiences to help you navigate it. But if you need professional help, professional guidance, please seek it. Don't just depend on us. I think that's it. Was there anything else either one of you guys wanted to say?
I had a Twitter correction. It was Toria that said the Celine Dion.
Oh, okay. Wasn't
I was just it, someone retweeted it or whatever, and I said,
"Yeah,
no, it's just the mobile."
Oh yes. So, and then if you liked what you heard, you can obviously visit us at www.ddjf.org, or you could text the letters DDJF 241444 and help us by donating. It could be as little as $1, literally $1, $5, whatever you can do. You can set it up on as a one-time thing or as recurring, where you're donating $1 a month. Anything helps us continue this process and continue providing this this show. So that's pretty much it, people. We just wanted to thank you. We hope it was a great show. We hope you learned something. And I guess we will see you next Wednesday at 1 p.m.
Perfect.
Right?
All right.
All right, cool. Take care, you guys. Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.